The Messengers, Part 3, 1892, November 5, to Frank and Haiti Belden. When you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit, you will see all that wickedness at Minneapolis as it is, as God looks upon it. If I never see you again in this world, be assured that I forgive you the sorrow and distress and burden of soul you have brought upon me without any cause, but for your soul's sake, for the sake of him who died for you. I want you to see and confess your errors. You did unite with those who resisted the Spirit of God. You had all the evidence that you needed that the Lord was working through brethren Jones and Wagner, but you did not receive the light. And after the feelings indulged, the word spoken against the truth, you did not feel ready to confess that you had done wrong, that these men had a message from God, and you had made light of both message and messengers. Page 1066. When I purposed to leave Minneapolis, the angel of the Lord stood by me and said, "Not so. God has a work for you to do in this place. The people are acting over the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I have placed you in your proper position, which those who are not in the light will not acknowledge. They will not heed your testimony, but I will be with you. My grace and power shall sustain you. It is not you they are despising, but the messengers and the message I send to my people. They have shown contempt for the word of the Lord. Satan has blinded their eyes and perverted their judgment. And unless every soul shall repent of this their sin, this unsanctified independence that is doing insult to the Spirit of God, they will walk in darkness. I will remove the candlestick out of his place, except they repent and be converted, that I should heal them. They have obscured their spiritual eyesight. They would not that God would manifest his Spirit and his power, for they have a spirit of mockery and disgust at my word. Lightness, trifling, jesting, and joking are daily practiced. They have not set their hearts to seek me. They will walk in the sparks of their own kindling, and unless they repent, they shall lie down in sorrow. Thus saith the Lord, stand at your post of duty, for I am with thee, and will not leave thee nor forsake thee." These words from God I have not dared to disregard. Pages 1067 and 1068. Circa 1893, to the Review and Herald office. The Lord has raised up Brother Jones and Brother Wagner to proclaim a message to the world to prepare a people to stand in the day of God. The world is suffering the need of additional light to come to them upon the Scriptures, additional proclamation of the principles of purity, lowliness, faith, and the righteousness of Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Pages 1814 and 1815. 1893, January 9, to W. Ings. Our work is clearly aggressive. Our warfare is to be directed against error and sin, not against one another. God requires us to be a strength to one another, to heal, not to destroy. We are to be constantly receiving light, and we are not to spurn the message nor the messengers by whom God shall send light to his people. Page 1121. We know that Brother Jones has been giving the message for this time, meet in due season for the starving flock of God. Those who do not allow prejudice to bar the heart against the heaven-sent message cannot but feel the spirit and force of the truth. Brother Jones has borne the message from church to church and from state to state, and light and freedom and the outpouring of the Spirit of God have attended the Word. Page 1122. Those who were then deceived might since have come to the light. They might rejoice in the truth as it is in Jesus, were it not for the pride of their own rebellious hearts. They will be asked in the judgment, "Who required this at your hand to rise up against the message and the messengers I sent to my people with light, with grace and power? Why have you lifted up your souls against God? Why did you block the way with your own perverse spirit? And afterward, when evidence was piled upon evidence, why did you not humble your hearts before God and repent of your rejection of the message of mercy he sent you? The Lord has not inspired these brethren to resist the truth. He designed that they should be baptized with the Holy Spirit and be living channels of light to communicate the light to our world in clear, bright rays." Page 1126. The opposition in our own ranks has imposed upon the Lord's messengers a laborious and soul-trying task, for they have had to meet difficulties and obstacles which need not have existed. While this labor had to be performed among our own people to make them willing that God should work in the day of his power, the light of the glory of God has not been shining in clear, concentrated rays to our world. Thousands who are now in the darkness of error might have been added to our numbers. Pages 1128, 1129. 1893, January 20, to I.D. Van Horn. I know that Elder Smith, Elder Butler, and Elder Van Horn have been losing the richest privileges of heavenly enlightenment because the spirit and impressions that were entertained before the Minneapolis meeting and in a large degree cherished since that time have kept them in a position where, when good cometh, they have had little appreciation of the same. I am so sorry for you, my brother. You have worked hard, but the wisdom which the Lord giveth to run like fine threads of gold through all your ministerial labor has been wanting. No greater light or evidence will come to any one of you except to Elder Butler. He has not been directly in the channel where light from the throne has come upon him. The Lord looks with compassion upon you all, but in a special sense upon Elder Butler. Both Elder Smith and yourself have had opportunities of the highest order, but neither of you has improved the privilege of opening the chambers of your mind and withdrawing the curtain from the soul temple that the train of the glory of God might illuminate heart and mind. There is no reason that either of you can offer before the great white throne when the Lord shall ask of you, "Why did you not unite your interests with the messengers I sent? Why did you not accept the message I sent through my servants? Why did you watch these men to find something to question and doubt when you should have accepted the message that bore the imprint of the Most High?" Pages 1133 and 1138. Think you, my brother, if the Lord has raised up men to give to the world a message to the people to prepare them to stand in the great day of God, that anyone could by their influence stop the work and close the mouth of the messengers? No. If every human agent should hold his peace, a voice would be put into the stones, and they would cry out. The message would go in greater and still greater power, and shall such men as Elder Smith, Elder Butler, and yourself be left behind in the special message and work for this time to carry the people forward and upward to a higher, holier state of spirituality? Is the work that has been going on since the Minneapolis meeting of God? If not, it is of another spirit. By their fruits you shall know them. I know that the Lord is in this work, and no one can silence the messenger whom God sends or repress the message. The Lord will be heard through his human agencies. And if any man refuses to accept the light and walk in it, that light will not continue to shine upon him. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Pages 1140 and 1141. 1894, June 1, to S. N. Haskell. I have the most tender feelings toward our brethren who have made this mistake, thinking that Anwarice Phillips was a prophet of God. And I would say that those who depreciate the one who have accepted proof will be permitted to pass through trial, which will make manifest their own individual weakness and defects of character. Brother Jones and Prescott are the Lord's chosen messengers, beloved of God. They have cooperated with God in the work for this time. While I cannot endorse their mistakes, I am in sympathy and union with them in their general work. The Lord sees that they need to walk in meekness and lowliness of mind before him, and to learn lessons which will make them more careful in every word they utter and in every step they take. These brethren are God's ambassadors. They have been quick to catch the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, and have responded by imparting the heavenly light to others. Let every soul who has received the theory of the truth now take heed how they treat God's messengers. Let no one be found working on Satan's side of the question as an accuser of the brethren. Let every bruise and wound be healed. Let everyone who has named the name of Christ walk in all humility of mind, and let no hard, unchristlike feelings be cherished in the heart to develop into satanic attributes in the character. Pages 1241 and 1242. 1894, October 27, to A. R. Henry. The very men whom God has entrusted with a message for his people have not been treated with respect. And A. R. Henry, had those in harmony with him, had the power been in their hands, would have rejected not only the message, as they have done, but the messengers whom God has sent. These men were entrusted with the work to do for the Master, and had their mouths been stopped, had their voices been silenced, God would have raised up others to do this work. If no human voice could be heard, he could have given a tongue to the stones to proclaim the very message he would have come to men. Will Brother Henry consider what kind of spirit they have cherished in reference to the message and the messengers? How bitter were your feelings against them? Do you think that God was leading you? These feelings are waiting for a revival. If in the history of the men who have borne this gospel message anything should take place which should prove them erring, fallible as yourselves, you would not consider your own errors and mistakes. You would manifest the most bitter feelings against them. It is high time you were thoroughly converted, that your sins may go beforehand and be blotted out now in probationary time, lest it shall be forever too late for wrongs to be righted. read Isaiah 30, verses 8 through 13. I have not dared to speak to you smooth things. I have not dared to prophesy deceit. I have declared to you the word of the Lord, but some things I have not communicated in so plain and sharp a manner as the case demanded. You have not accepted the testimonies of warning and reproof which the Lord has given. You have had a hatred of the message which his chosen messengers have proclaimed. Pages 1299 to 1300. 1895, May 1, to O. A. Olson. I inquire of those in responsible positions in Battle Creek, what are you doing? You have turned your back and not your face to the Lord. There needs to be a cleansing of the heart, the feelings, the sympathies, the words, in reference to the most momentous subjects, the Lord God, eternity, truth. What is the message to be given at this time? It is the third angel's message. But that light which is to fill the whole world with its glory has been despised by some who claim to believe the present truth. Be careful how you tread. Take off the shoes from off your feet, for you are on holy ground. Beware how you indulge the attributes of Satan and pour contempt upon the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I know not, but some have even now gone too far to return and to repent. 1888 Materials, pages 1334 and 1335. The Lord, in his great mercy, sent a most precious message to his people through Elders Wagner and Jones. This message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest in obedience to all of the commandments of God. Many had lost sight of Jesus. They needed to have their eyes directed to his divine person, his merits, and his changeless love for the human family. All power is given into his hands, that he may dispense rich gifts unto men, imparting the priceless gift of his own righteousness to the helpless human agent. This is the message that God commanded to be given to the world. It is the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of his Spirit in a large measure. Pages 1336 and 1337. This is the very work which the Lord designs that the message he has given his servants shall perform in the heart and mind of every human agent. It is the perpetual life of the church to love God supremely and to love others as they love themselves. There was but little love for God or man, and God gave his messengers just what the people needed. Those who received the message were greatly blessed, for they saw the bright rays of the Sun of Righteousness, and life and hope sprang up in their hearts. They were beholding Christ. Fear not, is his everlasting assurance. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, ye shall live also. The blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the believers apply to their own heart. Looking upon the great antitype, we can say, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Pages 1339 and 1340. I have no smooth message to bear to those who have been for so long as false guideposts pointing the wrong way. If you reject Christ's delegated messengers, you reject Christ. Neglect this great salvation kept before you for years. Despise this glorious offer of justification through the blood of Christ, and sanctification through the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. I entreat you now to humble yourselves and cease your stubborn resistance of light and evidence. Say unto the Lord, mine iniquities have separated between me and my God. O Lord, pardon my transgressions. Blot out my sins from the book of thy remembrance. Praise his holy name. There is forgiveness with him, and you can be converted, transformed. Page 1342. 1895, May 1, to H. Lindsay. My brother, why do you cherish such bitterness against Elder A.T. Jones and Elder Wagner? It is for the same reason Cain hated Abel. Cain refused to heed the instruction of God, and because Abel sought God and followed his will, Cain killed him. God has given Brother Jones and Brother Wagner a message for the people. You do not believe that God has upheld them, but he has given them precious light, and their message has fed the people of God. When you reject the message borne by these men, you reject Christ, the giver of the message. Page 1353. 1895, June 19, to O.A. Olson. When you are fully awake to these things, you will see and know that the reproof of God has for years been upon these responsible men, yet they have not humbled their hearts, neither have they been converted, nor have they confessed where they have resisted the message God has been giving to his people. They have shown contempt for both the messenger and the message from the time Elder Jones and Wagner were given a special work to do for these last days. Page 1395. 1895, September 25, to J. E. White. Those who, since the Minneapolis meeting, have had the privilege of listening to the words spoken by the messengers of God, Elder A.T. Jones, Professor Prescott, Brethren E.J. Wagner, O.A. Olson, and many others at the camp meetings and ministerial institutes have had the invitation, come, for all things are now ready. Come to the supper prepared for you. Light, heaven's light, has been shining. The trumpet has given a certain sound. Those who have made their various excuses for neglecting to respond to the call have lost much. The light has been shining upon justification by faith and the imputed righteousness of Christ. Those who receive and act in the light given will, in their teachings, give evidence that the message of Christ crucified, a risen Savior ascended into the heavens to be our advocate, is the wisdom and power of God in the conversions of souls, bringing them back to their loyalty to Christ. These are our themes. Christ crucified for our sins. Christ risen from the dead. Christ our intercessor before God. And closely connected with these is the office work of the Holy Spirit, the representative of Christ, sent forth with divine power and gifts for men. Pages 1455 and 1456. 1895, November 13, to F. E. Belden. I have no smooth words of peace and safety to speak to the hypocrites in Zion, whose business it is to turn the truth of God into a lie. Words and works are on Satan's side of the question. Men who have had evidence piled upon evidence that the Lord has been at work among his people, and yet these men have hated the messenger and the messages God has given him to proclaim. There is no excuse for the course which they have pursued and still planning to pursue. Page 1473. 1896, January 16, to brethren who occupy responsible positions in the work. Some have been and are still refusing to put on the wedding garment. They still wear their citizen's dress and despise the garment woven in the loom of heaven, which is Christ our righteousness. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are friends of Christ today? Do you feel an intense desire for the robe of Christ's righteousness? Are you sensible of the filthy rags of your own righteousness? Then let the truth come into your practical life. If you are friends of Christ, show it in words, in spirit. Manifest love to Jesus and love for the souls for whom Christ hath died. The sentiments of truth are the elements that constitute a symmetrical Christian character. We are far, far from being Christians, which is to be Christ-like. We need the Holy Spirit's efficiency. God lives and reigns. The very reason that the Holy Spirit's manifestations were not accepted as precious tokens from God is that there was not a receiving of the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord has been upon his messengers, whom he hath sent with light, precious light. But there were so many who had turned their face away from the Son of Righteousness that they saw not its bright beams. The Lord says of them, they have turned their backs to me and not the face. There is need of seeking the Lord most earnestly. 1888 Materials, page 1484. 1896, May 22, to O.A. Olson. Here is the secret of the movements made to oppose the men whom God sent with a message of blessing for his people. These men were hated. Their message was despised, as verily as Christ himself was despised at his first advent. Men in responsible positions have manifested the very attributes that Satan has revealed. They have sought to rule minds, to bring their reason and their talents under human jurisdiction. There has been an effort to bring God's servants under the control of men who have not the knowledge and wisdom of God, or an experience under the Holy Spirit's guidance. Principles have been born that it should never have seen the light of day. The illegitimate child should have been stifled as soon as it breathed the first breath of life. Finite men have been warring against God and the truth and the Lord's chosen messengers, counterworking them by every means they dared to use. Please consider what virtue there came in the wisdom and plans of those who have slighted God's messages and, like the scribes and Pharisees, have despised the very men whom God has used to present light and truth which his people needed. Pages 1525 and 1526. 1899, May 11, untitled. Those who have been separating from Christ by reason of false theories and maxims and customs hear the truth sent from God as a strange thing and inquire, doth he not speak in parables? They lose sight of God and his manner of working, which is often as unexpected to the agent whom he uses as to the people to whom the agent is sent. In some character, a prejudice is so strengthened by the first resistance of the truth that they take false positions and hold to them, notwithstanding the most positive evidence from the Word. With many, there is an apparent desire to be much in prayer with God, and yet, when the Word comes from the Lord, they are startled into resistance, and they exclaim against it, and the messenger, as did the Jews, saying, "He is tearing away the very pillars of our faith." In their blindness, they do not comprehend what constitute the pillars of faith. This departure from God and His Word has for a long time been coming in, and it was God who called the attention of several of our brethren to the Scriptures, calling upon them to dig for the truth which has been buried beneath customs and traditions as for hidden treasure. Truths to which many minds have been a great mystery are to be unfolded. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is in a special sense to be proclaimed that those who believe in Christ as a personal Savior may have eternal life. When the Israelites were dying from the sting of the fiery serpents, a brazen serpent was uplifted in the midst of them, that all might look and live. But there were those who stopped to reason regarding the foolishness of looking for relief to this means. That they should be healed by looking at a piece of brass was absurd to their minds, and they said, "We will not look." This decision was fatal, and all who would not accept the provision made perished. The brazen serpent was uplifted in the wilderness that those who looked in faith might be made whole. In like manner, God sends a restoring, healing message to men, calling upon them to look away from man and earthly things and place their trust in God. He has given His people the truth with power through the Holy Spirit. He has opened His Word to those who were searching and praying for truth. But when these messengers gave the truth they had received to the people, they were as unbelieving as the Israelites. Many are caviling over the truth brought to them by humble messengers. They question, "How can this message be truth? How is it possible that by looking to Jesus and believing in His imputed righteousness, I may gain eternal life?" Those who have thus refused to see the truth do not realize that it is God with whom they are in controversy, that in refusing the message sent them, they are refusing Christ. Pages 1687 and 1688. This is the end of part 2.